invite you to stand with me, and let's read the section of scripture that we're going to be looking at this morning. It's in the book of Psalms, chapter 100. We'll read through the entire chapter. Luckily, it's only five verses, short verses. So let's read them together, shall we? Can we pop them up? Okay. Let's read together. A psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God, and it is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good and his mercy everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the words of this psalm to us, a reminder, a command, Father, of the thanksgiving that we are to bring to you for who you are. Lord, you are worthy, you are good. So today I pray that you would remind us in our hearts once again of the many things that we are to be thankful for. Lord, sometimes it's easy for us to get into the wrong thinking, the wrong mode. We start looking at all the problems and we start complaining and grumbling. And Father, it is good to give thanks. So today, may we place our mind on your goodness, on your many blessings. May we remember them and praise you for them. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take a seat, please. Take a seat. So, this coming week is a special holiday. What holiday is it? Christmas. A bit early. It is. It's Thanksgiving Day. Now, I know it's not a holiday here, but I will say that Jen and I have always celebrated Thanksgiving Day ever since we've been here. Our kids were little. We would actually go and make arrangements with the school. We'd take them out of school because it's a special day to us. And we celebrate Thanksgiving as a family. Well, this week is Thanksgiving. It's on Thursday. And I enjoy this day. It's not uncommon for people to make certain lists. Christmas time is around the corner. Next month is Christmas. And kids are making lists. What kind of list do they want to make? Christmas list. Wish list. What's on the Christmas list? Yeah, you're saying, man, I really would like this, I'd like this. Sometimes we write to Santa and we give him our requests and we make a Christmas list. And then around the corner from that is another list that people start making. Come January 1st, people make a list. What are those lists? Yes, you got some resolutions, man, some things I'd like to accomplish this year. Often it centers around very temporary things like losing weight and exercising, things like this. Sometimes it's more serious, relational or even spiritual goals that you'd like to see this coming year. And so you make a resolution list. But there's a list that's often overlooked. And it's this one, a Thanksgiving list. What are you thankful for? We just read at the offering time, this is God's will for you in Christ. Give thanks. And so I think this is a worthy list to make. I remember a hymn growing up, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, and it will surprise you. Oh, man, we got to do the song. I thought surely everyone knows that one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. That's the song, and it's a good song to sing. I know it's old, it's an old hymn and for the old school stuff, but such good reminders. We need that. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And as you do that, it reminds you what the Lord has done in your life. Because like I mentioned, I think it's easy for any of us to get into a rut a rut of looking at the problems, and life always brings problems. We know that. Next week, there's going to be a different problem to face, a different problem to solve. There's going to be another trial. We know that. And so we need to conscientiously count our blessings because they're also there. We have the blessings, we have the problems. What are you going to put your focus on the most? What are you going to dwell on the most? What are you going to bring to the Lord the most and say, Lord, I want to lift this up to you and say thank you. Okay? The blessings are there. Count them. What are you thankful for? Think about it. You may not be celebrating on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day. Besides, the celebration part mostly is just overeating anyway. That's not the most important thing. But to have a time when you remember, let's give thanks. God has been good, hasn't he? Thank you, Lord. Whether it's with a big meal, with turkey. By the way, turkey is ridiculously expensive in New Zealand. Why? You know, they give away turkeys in the States often. They just give them away pretty much. By the way, trivia, for those of you who may not know, my family, we came from California, and my grandparents began this business, and they built up this business pretty big in the western coast of the U.S., and it was Young's Turkey Ranch, okay? So it was a turkey ranch, so we grew turkeys, and we processed them, and we delivered them, so it was a big operation. Young's Turkey Ranch. So, anyway, that's my heritage. I come from a bunch of turkeys. Yeah. Oh, where were we? Man, you guys get me lost. So you may not be celebrating, but you can think about these things as well. Okay, it's a good thing. You know, we got lots of holidays in New Zealand. Some good ones, of course, my favorites, Christmas, Easter. These center around special events regarding my Lord and Savior. And so it's a special holiday. We have other holidays I don't mind, Labor Day and Anzac and, you know, Memorial kind of days. These are good. Some I scratch my head at, like Guy Fawkes. I never really understood that one. I grew up when I was really young here in New Zealand. You know, I grew up mostly in New Zealand, and I remember, this is back in the 70s now, but I remember the church would gather together on Guy Fawkes Night, and we would celebrate together, shoot off the fireworks. It was crazy. We had unlimited fireworks and bottle rockets shooting everywhere, and it was big explosives, you know. They handed sticks of dynamite to kids, have fun. Yeah. It was a different time back then. Now, where was I? Oh, yes. And then we would build a big bonfire. And on top of the bonfire, we'd put this dummy man and burn them. You know why we did that? Everybody did that. Who here? Calvin, am I right or am I right? I mean, that was a common thing. It's kind of morbid now. And when you think about it, you're like, why were we doing that? Well, we were remembering Guy Fawkes. He was burned at the stake. Okay? And so let's burn a guy at the stake. Crazy times. I'm kind of glad we don't do that. So I scratch my head and at some of these events and wonder, why are we doing that? But we don't have Thanksgiving Day. You know, we need Thanksgiving Day. So put it in your heart. The first president of the U.S. was President... Who? Oh, I hear... I'm sorry, I hear mumbling. Okay, we got it? Did we get it? Well done, Chloe. Who was it? George Washington. Is that what you said? No, you said Abraham Lincoln or something like that. I was trying to hear what Steve was saying because it didn't sound like George Washington. George Washington, 1789, he made this proclamation to the country. He says, by the President of the United States of America, a proclamation. Whereas, it's kind of old English wordy, so listen carefully. Whereas, it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God. Can you imagine our leader saying this kind of stuff today? To acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both House and Congress have by their joint committee requested me, George Washington, to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be. Wow, that's pretty cool. Imagine Jacinda getting up and saying that today. That would be awesome. A day of thanksgiving to our great and beneficent God. But often today in our culture, it's often the opposite. The more we get, the less thankful we become. The more we have, the less mindful of God that we are. And the more things that we want, the more we demand, the more we feel we have a right to. So today, let's take a look at this psalm in particular and see what it has to say. First, we'll see the message of thanksgiving. Then we're going to see some commands of it. So first of all, the message. The 100th psalm was written to the people of Israel, urging them to remember God's grace and God's goodness to them. Don't forget, remember, give thanks to Him. Don't forget who He is. Don't stop that. Earlier, God had cautioned His people. We see back in Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want to rewind a little bit before this was written. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 10, it says, "So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware." What's the beware? "Lest you forget the Lord." He's writing to the people who were struggling, wandering in the wilderness, out of slavery, and it's been difficult. But he's giving them a reminder, saying, one day, when things change, and you're going to be living it good, you're going to have plenty, you're going to have beautiful houses filled with nice things, and plenty of drinking water, lots of lovely food, and there'll be no worries. He says, beware at that time. Beware lest you forget. Forget the Lord. Forget who's providing you all this. And you know what? That's just our tendency. That's human tendency, isn't it? Forget. Forget. They had tough times. They had battles. They were wandering for 40 years. But he says, one day all that's going to change. You're going to be eating and drinking well. But beware lest you forget. Think of times in your life where maybe you've wandered in the wilderness and it's been hard. I mean, figuratively, it's been hard. You've gone through uncertainty, you've gone through health problems, financial problems, health problems, whatever problems they may be. And every one of us has done that. We're not unique in that. We all have struggles. We've all had trials, afflictions, difficulties. So we share that together. But think about those times in the wilderness. Often it's those times in which you draw close to the Lord. As a believer, that's because you're reminded during those times, I need you, God. I need you beside me. Help me. You call out to Him. And He's there, and He may not take away your affliction instantly. He may walk with you through it, but often it's those times that are the sweetest because you are drawing the closest to the Lord, and your understanding of Him is deeper because of those afflictions. But then times maybe change. Those times pass, and the circumstances change, and you have everything you need, everything is smooth, and there's no real problems in the foreseeable future that you can see, and you think, I got it made. Don't forget the Lord at those times. Don't forget. Be thankful. So Psalm 100 was written to remind them. Notice who's it written to. Verse number 1 says, a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Everyone, all you lands, all generations. It's not just for them. This is a universal principle that God says his people need to always be mindful of. Now let's take a look at these Thanksgiving commands. You'll kind of note, by the way, that there's only 5 verses. The first 2 verses are commands. And verse 4 is also a command. And verses 3 and verse 5 are reasons. Okay? Reasons why we should be thankful. And so it's kind of divided up that way. I'm not really dividing it up that way. I just want you to see that and be aware of that. Verse 3 and 5 are the reasons. 1, 2, and 4 are the commands to be thankful. But let's take a look at 5 Thanksgiving commands. The first one is this. Verse 1, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. This is a command. This is our rightful duty to our great and gracious God. That word shout means to proclaim with the force of a trumpet blast. That's a loud, joyful shout. A shout to the Lord that comes from the very depth of your being. It comes from inside your heart. And you make a shout to the Lord out of thanksgiving. You want to tell how good the Lord is and the great things that he has done. I read once of this missionary in an area of India. And the region was filled with people that were affected by this progressive blindness problem, an eye problem. It was kind of a regional thing. They were born healthy, but something in the area caused people around to lose their sight significantly as they aged. So this one missionary went in, he was a missionary and doctor, and he developed some kind of treatment to help stop this. So the people came to him, and then they left realizing that they would have gone completely blind, but because of this guy that came and helped and cared, their eyesight was saved. In their hearts, they were truly thankful, but they never said thank you. Because the interesting thing is, in their dialect, that phrase wasn't in it. They didn't have an exact translation, exact words of thank you. But they did have something else that they used all the time instead. And it was this. It was a word that meant, I will tell your name. I will tell your name. And it was an expression of thanks to somebody. To be able to say, I will tell of your name. Where they went, they would tell the name of that missionary that helped cure their blindness. And this is what the psalmist is saying. You realize that what God has done for you, the blindness that he's cured in you, and the many blessings that he's poured out on you, and you say, I can't keep it inside anymore. And from the depths of your being, you trumpet it out. You make a joyful shout to the Lord and saying, I will tell of your name for what you've done for me. The second command we see is in verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Doesn't say serve even the church, the preacher, the organization, but it's serve the Lord. Serve him with gladness. Some people may be unhappy with their work. Maybe you're here and you're unhappy at your job. Perhaps what you need instead of another job, because chances are you'll get another job and it'll be the same. But perhaps what you need isn't just a new job, but maybe a new boss. Amen? Some of you are like, yeah, I didn't think about that. I'll work on that this week. No, what I mean is serve the Lord. Make Him the one that you are serving and working for. Yes, you may still be under, in the Bible, Peter had, or was it Peter or John? He had a lot to say about, you know, the Christian and their responsibility to those that are their masters. But ultimately, the way we see it, the way we need to see it, is that we serve the Lord. No matter what you do it as to the Lord. Maybe, you know, you got a lousy job. You didn't want it, but, you know, God somehow gave it to you. You're collecting rubbish. You're packing or stocking shelves. Who knows? But God gave you that. And now you can choose to complain and grumble. And you got a boss or a foreman who may be on your case all the time, and he's just never happy about anything. What I would suggest is have a new boss and say, Lord, I'm going to do this for you. And I want to do it in a way that's going to bring honor and please you. And even if this guy is never going to be happy with anything I do, I want you, Lord, to be the one that is happy and pleased with me. Serve the Lord with gladness. Paul put it this way in Colossians 3:23, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Don't forget who you are. Don't forget who you serve. You serve Him. Serve the Lord with gladness. Thirdly, we read, come, in verse 2, come before His presence with singing. Come before His presence with singing. What is the evidence of a heart that's singing? A person that's always singing? What does that show in them? Some of you would say, well, they're really annoying, aren't they? No, that's not what I mean. That's a sign that there's a joy in their heart, right? They have something that they're happy about. They want to sing. God's people have always sung to Him. We read this throughout the Scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament. It's just a thing. It's a thing we do. We come together. Oh, let's sing a praise to the Lord. Why? Because He's worthy and there's a song in our hearts. And that's a way that we can show that we love Him. That's a way we can show we adore Him. That's a way we show we're thankful. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. You may not be a good singer. And I know not everyone is. Not everyone can be like me. I understand this. I'm just... Sorry. But it doesn't matter whether we sing good or whether we aren't that great. Because the Lord hears. You know? This kind of reminds me of, you know, several weeks ago during the Rugby World Cup, me and Jen would watching most of the games. And every time the players would come out, they'd stand on both sides. What's the first thing they did? They sing. They sing their country's national anthem. And, you know, the camera would go along and pan over the players as they would sing. And it just tickled us. It not just tickled us. It wasn't just funny and we laughed at them. And, oh, they're terrible. Look, they can't even sing. But the ones that would just get into it the most. And you could tell they were singing with all their heart, even if they were off key and off time and... It didn't really matter. You saw there was a joy and a pride in their heart as they were standing before everyone singing their country's anthem. You know, that made us smile as we saw wow, that's great. You know, the ones that didn't impress us were the ones that just stood and didn't want to sing or do anything. But man, when we saw something from the heart, that made an impact. But I can't help but think that that's how the Lord looks upon his people as they sing something to him. And don't have to be a wonderful choir, a trained voice. But if it's something that comes from the heart, even on your own, in the car sometimes, sing a joyful noise to the Lord. Sing out joyfully to him. God wants to hear your heart. I remember the time when our first daughter was born, Gretchen. She was born in hospital. She was born in Missouri in the States. It was in a big hospital room, bright lights everywhere, cold, hard floors. And as soon as she was born, they whisked her away and from mom, and we're wondering, why are they taking her? And they took her over to this cold metal scale, and they put her in the scale. They wanted to weigh her, okay? And when they put her in there, she was not happy. And she let out her first holler. She just let it out. It wasn't a beautiful sound, but me and Jen heard it. And two things. One, we were like, wow, that's our daughter. That's her voice. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that beautiful? It's so good to hear her voice. And then we're like, she's not happy, though. It's not a good cry. Let's, you know, we wanted to bundle her up and hold her and love her. But it was our daughter's voice. And that was a precious thing. That's a precious thing. God looks at us. God hears us. God hears you. And it's not so much the quality as it is what's going on inside the heart. Make a joyful noise. Come into his presence with singing. Fourthly, notice this in verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And this is one of those verses that gives us the reasons why. The reasons why we are to come before his, be thankful with thanksgiving. God put together every part of you. He made us, not we ourselves. We didn't just form out of thin air. God made us and put us together. Every bone, every joint and muscle, he put them together and covered them with skin and gave you eyes to see with and brains to think with, fingers to use, a mouth to speak, ears to hear with. God made you inside out just the way that he wanted you to be. Know that he is the Lord. He is God. He is the one that made you. And this is a reason for us to come before him with thanksgiving. God made you just the way he wanted you to be. God made me just the way he wanted me to be. I don't know why, but somehow God decided that he wanted a guy, a man, medium build, born someplace in the States, average in many ways, but to be a faithful father, a faithful husband, and a faithful pastor that he would call up and raise up. And he made me. And somewhere along the line, probably well before me, because I'm so much younger than most of you, he had you in mind, right, Gigi? He had you in mind. And he made you just the way he wanted you to be as well. Everything about you. Give him thanks for that. And it's rather insulting to be unthankful for the many things that you don't have, and why aren't I more like this, and why don't I look more like that? Why couldn't I have a bit more height? And you can complain, but what you're basically saying is, God, you did it all wrong when you made me. And that's the wrong attitude. It is he who made us, not we ourselves. We're his people, the sheep of his pasture. He loves each of his sheep. He loves each of us. Give thanks to him. And he's still making us, though. He's not satisfied yet. He's not finished with the end product. It's a work in progress. It's not just about him putting you together in your mother and there, it's finished. But it's a continuous, ongoing project that he is working on in you. Paul said in Philippians 1, 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Something else to be thankful for? He who began a good work in you is still working on you, and he will complete it. He will continue to complete it until Christ comes again. That's a promise. There was an old song that I sang as a kid. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. Remember that song? Anybody? That wasn't a special. Oh. But he's still working on me. And that's a good reminder. Simple song. But it reminds us, reminds the kids, but it reminds all of us that we're a work in progress. Give thanks to the Lord because he's working on you. We're his people, the sheep of his pasture. Sometimes the problem is some of us don't want to be sheep. We want to be the shepherd. You be the sheep. Let God be the shepherd. He knows where the best green pastures are. He knows where the best water is. Trust him. Follow him. And be thankful. And lastly, we see in verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. The Old Testament temple symbolized the very presence of God. The Israelites had their temple. They had their tabernacle when they were in the wilderness, and then they built their first temple, which was destroyed. And then they had the second temple built that was also destroyed. But the temple symbolized the very presence of God. There was a place in the temple, the Holy of Holies. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was. God made his dwelling with his people there. But now you know God is with you. The temple of God is his people with you. You are the temple of God. Everywhere you are, God is there. We need to remember that as we live.
Where we go, what we do.
Thank you for creating me just the way I am. May I not complain about the way you made me. Lord, I thank you for your great salvation that Jesus has given to me. Don't take that ever for granted. Thank you, Lord, that I am a work in progress, that you're still working on me. And there may be many other things that God has done in your life that he wants you to be thankful for. Give thanks to him. Father, Lord, I thank you for this reminder that we have, that we need to be a people of thanksgiving. Lord, forgive us for when we get stuck in the rut of the world, or we get a complaining spirit. Father, forgive us. May we, Lord, truly be a people of thanksgiving. May we count our blessings. May we remember and not forget the things that you have done for us. Lord, most of all, we do thank you for Jesus. For without him, we would be lost still in our sins. Father, if there's anybody here who doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, I pray that you would begin to work in that person's heart and life, that you, Lord, would draw them to the only one who can save, who can forgive, who can give a new life. Thank you, Father. May we count our blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take a seat for a minute, and we have a few announcements before we're dismissed.
Thank you for the message this morning. Just a few quick announcements that we'd like to share with you. So if you have your bulletins on the inside pages, let's look at the notices. So we have the Year 13 graduation dinner coming up on the Friday the 29th. Did you want to mention anything on that one, Josh? Okay. So that's at 7:30 at the View Restaurant. So see Josh and Denise if you are a Year 13 graduate, and they'll make the arrangements there with you. We also have our holiday schedule. It's printed just under the missions area. The holiday schedule coming up with the Christmas program that is going to be, we have the Christmas program on the 24th, and then we have, and it's going to be two different times, is that right? Also on the holiday schedule, we from the 15th of December through the 2nd of February, we just have one worship service. Is that time? Yeah, 10 o'clock is on the time. So you see on the family services, it says 11 a.m. That's actually going to be 10 a.m. So we'll make the announcement and the correction in for next week as well. But just so you'll know that will be one worship service, and it's going to be at 10 a.m. Also, our youth summer camp coming up at Lake Taupo, the 14th through the 17th of January. And is that something that you wanted to mention, Josh? Yep, he's going to come up and share with you some details on the youth camp.
All right, so we've known about camp for quite a few months now. So we have permission slips here ready for you to go for the parents to sign if the teens are wanting to go. So I know we haven't had much responses over the past two events that we've had from parents, but this is very important, okay? So if we can get these back in by the 8th, that would be very, very appreciative, or else we won't be able to organize and get them to go to camp. So it's very important you get these in by the 8th. So please come pick one up from the back of the welcome desk, and we'll get them sorted out for you.
Hey, so, and that's the 8th of December, right, Josh? The 8th of December? Yep, in the next couple of weeks. So that's all of our announcements that we need to share with you. Other than our missions praying for the McIvers, these are our missionaries with OMF, and we've supported them for the past few years, so continue to pray for them as well as our other missionaries and the prayer letters we've posted in the back also. Now, maybe you're celebrating a birthday or an anniversary. We'd like to celebrate that with you. Anyone celebrating this coming week with a birthday that we would like to share out with everyone? Anyone with a birthday this week? Come on up here, Crisanto. Anyone else? I think Penny's coming forward as well. Come on up here, Penny. Anyone else with a birthday this week? How about wedding anniversaries? Do we have any wedding anniversaries the coming week? No? No other birthdays, no wedding anniversaries? Let's all stand together. We're going to sing Happy Birthday. We'll be dismissed then for our Sunday school class to start at 10 o'clock. Happy
Wow, May, you're trying to stretch my voice out there. Okay, let's be dismissed in prayer. We got 10 or so minutes. Grab a drink, and then let's get ready for Bible study. Thank you, Father, for this reminder today from Psalms 100 that we are to be a thankful people. May we leave here today with a song in our hearts, and may we focus this week on your many blessings that you've given to us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.